B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Those two are bitches.
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glaciers that are melting, they say that... That is so full of Brazil where there's in the water. So don't give me this global warming, and in the wintertime, you freeze your balls up. I mean, Jesus, I am so over that bullshit.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. 617-779-0985. Big show on the way today. Today was a day that I did not want to get up. That was one of those days, just did not want to get up at all. It took great personal perseverance. There was a point where I said, if I keep my eyes shut, that I will go to sleep and I will not make it into work. That was the thing.
I finally, by the way, last night watched the Game of Thrones episode that everyone had been flipping out about. It was the most tweeted about television event in history, if you counted the amount of simple tweets that were done about it. And there was nothing funnier than people going on Twitter getting angry for people spoiling it for them online. And to that I say, what did you think was going to happen? It's an event. It is a moment. It was on television. It's not like you have to go to a theater. It's something that most people are going to watch. Did you just think, oh, you know what I'll do? I'll just pop on the old internet where everyone's talking about this thing, and maybe no one will say anything about the actual plot. Like, that's on you. And there were so many people who were pissed off about that yesterday, and I just thought that was hysterical. Like, all right, man, you're angry. You went on Twitter. What do you think's going to be there? Should have watched it when it first aired. But it was pretty good. It wasn't bad. I still don't know what the hell's going on with half of these people, but I thought it was all right. To be quite honest, I thought that there was, might have been about 20 minutes too long.
Nonsense.
There's a lot of dragons flying for no reason. I have no idea.
Trouble with that at all.
It was like, let's just stall time, flying dragons in the sky, and well, they weren't even attacking.
It's all battle tactics, Rich. It's all battle tactics. You got to hide the dragons till the right moment, and then you light up the army of the dead to give yourself an even chance. I mean, come on. I don't think you necessarily needed Jon Snow flying around there on a dragon. I think the dragon queen could have controlled both of them by herself, but that's neither here nor there.
It's also like it's a situation like, do you remember in the third Batman movie, the one with Bane?
Yeah.
Remember how Bane through the whole movie was like a total badass?
Mm-hmm.
Like this really like evil, super evil guy, and then he went out like a bitch?
Yes.
Like, you're like, what? Yeah. So this total badass is just going to go out just kind of like, what did he get, like run over out of nowhere? And then he's kind of crying at one point. And I'm like,
hey, he's just lying there. And he's like, oh, okay.
Like, hang on. This dude's like supposed to, you sold me like this entire time that he's like the most evil dude on the planet. And he just goes out just like a total punk. That's kind of what that episode was last night.
What do you mean?
So, the Night King's, like, the baddest dude in the world. Like, the entire series is about how he's the most evil guy on the planet.
Yes.
And he just goes out like that?
Well, I mean, that's the way he was made, if you had followed it from the beginning. It's kind of, everything comes full circle.
He was made to have the most indestructible arm in the entire world, and someone just sneaks up on him.
If you really want to go into it, if someone was going to sneak up on him, it would have been Arya.
Fred, everybody who dies can come back to life to be an army member of his.
Correct.
Everyone who gets killed comes back. There are like millions of beasts that are there to protect him.
Yes.
And just out of nowhere, someone just sneaks up and goes...
Well, the idea was because
he went out like a punk.
If he physically made all of these people, he's able to reanimate the dead. If you kill him, you kill all of his followers.
What purpose are they if they can't protect him from someone going, hey?
Well, it's Arya Stark spent one full season in this random building, in this random town, far away from Westeros, training herself to be a silent killer.
They didn't think it through. They didn't think it through.
No, I think the killing was just the problem was the killing happened about three episodes too early. I think, and some guy tweeted me, it was perfect, said, the Night King out in the semis, that's a major upset. I think ultimately he should have lasted another couple.
It wasn't even like...
I was waiting for the big battle at King's Landing, and him being out with three episodes to go probably wasn't good.
Yeah, I just thought that if you had such a... I mean, for an entire... The whole purpose of this show is to fear this guy. Like, yeah. This guy... And he goes out like that.
Yeah. Mm. It was a bit of a surprise considering the tide was overwhelmingly in the dead's favor leading up to that.
It was a surprise how lame it was.
It could have been done a little better, I agree.
Yes.
But all in all, not a bad episode at all. It's a top 10 for me.
Well, there you go. I just, once again, I don't even know who these people are, and, mm-hmm. and that's part of it, so I'm not going to talk about the gravitas. I just know that the way he went is lacked.
Well, you had to see. The whole thing was, well, we're not going to get it.
I almost feel, Fred,
it's a full circle death.
You know how, like, all the characters that they humiliated, like the dude who got his penis cut off, Fred, the one that made you stop watching the show?
Yeah.
Like, they tried to do things and be like, yeah, but they're cool anyway. Like, I feel bad for what we wrote, these humiliating things you went through, so we're going to make you, like, die heroes.
That's true. The guy who was castrated was guarding the guy in the wheelchair who the Night King was after. And he was leading a group of about six guys with bows and arrows against hundreds of thousands of people. We're going to shoot flaming arrows at as many people. We're not going to have swords. We're just going to shoot flaming arrows because, you know, fire kills these things. But there are maybe 20,000 people running at us. And there are six of us with about a dozen arrows each, and we're going to kill everybody. And the guy who was castrated was the main guy in charge of guarding the three-eyed raven in the wheelchair. And then he's all by himself. The Night King has a group of 10,000 people around him, and then he charges him with his bow and arrow and gets stabbed through the heart. That's how he dies.
Great.
Yep.
For no purpose.
Died
whatsoever.
With honor.
By the way, somebody says that you should do your play-by-play skills for that portion of the fight. So. And he makes the stab.
That's right. Count it. Another one dead. Count it. The Night King for three. No.
I don't know why everyone got so fired up about how awesome the end of that show was. I was like, what? That's how you're going to do it?
It was a surprise of all the people to kill
Arian
the Night
Foster's
King.
Posting videos of him.
No,
like,
I mean, it was
jumping around.
It was a hell of a 24 hours for that woman.
Well, it was emotionally exhausting.
I mean, well, no, actually, it was because she had sex for the first time the episode before during the same evening. So you have sex for the first time and you kill the Night King all in about a 12 hour span. Mm-hmm. It's quite an evening, actually, if you think about it.
It's kind of funny, too, because, like, apparently the main character was really pissed. Like, the actor who plays the main character was pissed that he wasn't the guy to do it.
Jon Snow?
Yeah, like, he thought the entire thing that he was going to, like, be the man. And then it's like, all right, well, you're going to let this girl do it.
I'm going to fly around on this dragon for 25 minutes. That's what I'm going to do.
Fred, I don't think that no matter how, like, many people you throw out there to be, like, you know, make this show, like, extra manly, two people flying on a dragon around is just never looks cool. Never. It's like super nerdy. And even me, who loves like Lord of the Rings, like I know it's nerdy. Like that was some nerdy stuff last night.
I didn't understand some of that. That's true. You understand the Dragon Queen riding on the dragon, but you do not understand Jon Snow with his sword riding on a dragon. Does not make a lot of sense.
All right, Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, that two dragon scene looked like some terrible band my uncle had.
Yeah,
back it's, in the it's 80s, like fan art on the side.
Right, it's the front like, cover of an Asia album. Right.
Yeah, well, I was like, what is this? But I feel like since like season six on, it's just complete fan fiction. This season's horrible. That last episode, I don't care what this show sucks. This season's horrible, and I just gave up on it. Ever since I guess that guy's not even writing anymore, so it's complete fan fiction. But yeah, that dragon scene, I felt like I was looking like an 80s band.
Well, you know what the problem is? The books ended. The show went through all of the books and ended after season five. So the last two or three seasons have been completely made up by the producers and writers of the show, in addition to the guy who wrote all the books. They're all like, okay, what would happen from now on? So you're right. It is kind of fan fiction. The books ended after season five.
But our Martin guy, big Jets fan, but he's like stuck. He can't write. He can't figure out what to do next. He's got writer's block.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, you create literally 40 or 50 main characters, and you're trying to wrap all of this up. And I don't know how you do that.
Can't be worse than Lost.
That's true. Lost is the all-timer.
Yeah, Lost is the... And the more time that goes on, that guy tries... I just read something that the guy talked about again, one of the creators of it, in explaining how, like, now people were satisfied with the ending, and I just don't understand how anyone could think that.
Well, the ultimate sin of Lost was that the theory of how it ended was out there, like, within three or four episodes. People figured it out, and the writers were asked about it, and they denied that that's how it was going to end, and then it's exactly the way it ended. And you're like, all right. I mean, so everyone the whole time kind of had a theory. So wouldn't you think if you're the writer, and maybe that was the original way you wanted to end it.
It can't be, because
you think that, you know what, maybe we should switch things up because everyone's kind of figured out the code.
No, maybe you could have solved any of the questions that you raised. They did nothing of that. I could have written Lost easily. I just would have said, okay, there's a mysterious clown that jumps around. Where'd he come from? Oh, I don't know. Hey, there's smoke monster. Where'd it come from? I don't know.
Well, I know what the smoke monster was. That was explained.
Okay, fine. Hey, this kid can see into the future. Why? I don't know.
Because he's a three-eyed raven.
Now that had more of a backstory than the Lost. Sure. I didn't see the show. I'll admit it. I just remember how angry Fred was the day after. You were trying to talk him down off the ledge.
No,
but the producers of Lost, they ended it one way and said, well, how are we going to solve this? Well, we'll just throw three more things at it and create more questions.
Well, there's like a four-minute video that goes real fast about all the things they didn't answer about it. So, I mean,
that was like The Sopranos. The Sopranos had a million storylines that just never were put together.
Yeah, right. But that wasn't science fiction. I mean, that's just the way life is. I mean, this was supposed to be this great symbolism, and the whole point of watching the show was to see why all this stuff was going on. And they just didn't answer any of it. The last season just gave up on all the storylines that they had been doing. It's the worst ending of a show I've ever seen, because it was the easiest show in the world to write, because you just introduce some garbage in there and make it seem like a mystery and then just leave it alone. I mean, you could have invented anything. There's a million. I mean, none of it made any sense. If you go back and watch it, which you shouldn't, I mean... It was just it's a fraudulent idea that those guys made that money with no idea of what they were doing is completely fraudulent. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, the Red Sox don't crap the bed for once. How about that? And we will also get to some brand new news in the Robert Kraft hearing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
Sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Touch and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
95, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Touch and Rich.
What happened last night?
.985, the Sports Hub. We're Touch and Rich. I'm wondering how much Barry Melrose gets paid.
Too much. Way too much.
I don't think he can probably make that much money, because he does about... Because they have SportsCenter on here in the station, and he does legit like a two-minute hit during the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, for 2 months, he goes on there and does a recap of the games that have been played, and there's not even a ton of analysis.
No, he doesn't watch the games. I'm positive he doesn't, because he'll say things about the Bruins games that I've watched that just are false or some weird prediction that doesn't have any basis in fact.
And a lot of it, listen to it, it sounds like he's just stating what happened. Like, he doesn't give you a ton of opinion. And the opinion, and if he does, it's very general. You know what I mean? It's like almost as if he watched the highlights and then kind of feigns that he's been watching this team the whole season.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. I don't think that he watches a lot of hockey. So I think they have him on so they can talk about his hair, which is a little old at this point.
Is he shaving now? I haven't seen
him. No, he's got the goat.
He's got the goat? All right. Yeah, the goat comes and the goat goes.
Yeah, he's a little salt and pepper. He's got a little goat. Yeah.
Well, yesterday started off as another day at the office for the Red Sox.
And a line shot deep to right. Betts racing backs over his head. Out of the warning track. Here comes another run. Fegley rounding third. He is going to score on a double by Chapman. That makes it 4-0 Oakland.
That is Nesson, and Eduardo Rodriguez walks two batters after being ahead 0-2. The team fails to turn a double play. A base is stolen, then a two-run single, and then a wild pitch, and the number nine hitter singles in a run. That's the Red Sox we've all come to know and love. However, then this happened.
And up the middle he goes, a base hit. Martinez in, Bogart's right behind him. And the Red Sox grab the lead. Chavis with a two-run hit.
A decisive come-from-behind win from the Red Sox?
I wouldn't get that excited.
Oakland kind of handed it to him there. Two bad errors in a six-run third. All six runs were unearned in the third.
And by the way, Rodriguez sucked.
Well,
so
he was awful, but...
The bullpen was great, though, Fred. Bullpen fantastic last night.
Bullpen held them, and God bless them all. But your starting pitching sucks.
Yes, it does.
Well, the Red Sox score six runs in the third inning, which was their biggest inning of the season.
All runs unearned. And the Every Sox, single one of them.
9-4, the final score of the A's. The team is now 12-17, and one of the bright spots of an otherwise crummy season this season is in Michael Chavis, who was 2-for-4 with three RBIs. He now has 8 RBI in his 9 career games. Here is Chavis afterwards.
I think a lot of that has to do with the people around here. They've made me more than comfortable within the clubhouse, and having had some success in the box, I think definitely safe to say I'm getting more comfortable.
And Xander Bogaerts seems to think that last night's win might be the start of a huge turnaround, Wallach.
We know we have a lot of really good players in this clubhouse, and as I said, a win like tonight and a big inning like that can change a lot of stuff. So coming in tomorrow with the same attitude and try to do it again.
All right, that's fine. Chavis is the reason to watch this team. Right now, he was their top hitting prospect. We talked about him yesterday. He got suspended for PEDs, came back. He's still got pop in his bat. He's hitting 440 foot homers, and he drove in 3 runs, big 2-run single to cap that 6-run inning. They can't get him out of the lineup at this point. He was drafted as a shortstop, played third base in the minors, but that's taken because of Devers. So now he's at second base, played first base last night. And I think, at the very least, he'll be the right-handed platoon at first base because your World Series MVP, Steve Pearce, is hitting 100.
Yeah.
So I think right now, Chavis will be your guy.
Or do you make Devers the DH because he can't field?
That wouldn't be a bad idea. I'm on board with that. I have no trouble. Whatever you can do to keep this kid in a lineup.
Right.
He is an offensive force. And yes, blindfolded, he could probably field third base better than Rafael Devers.
Well, yeah, Devers has been atrocious.
Well, he's been atrocious. That was the book on him when he came up. If you look at how many errors he committed last year, they were numerous. It kind of got glossed over because the team was so damn good. But no, Devers has never been able to field the position well.
Right.
So, yeah, Chavis should be your guy. Find a way to keep him in the lineup every night, at least for now.
And you're right. It wasn't the most amazing of wins as far as the just capitalizing on the A's mistakes.
Oakland handed it to them.
However, is there anything that you're seeing as of late that gives you any kind of hope that things are going to be righted soon?
The bullpen's been more good than bad. Chavis is good. J.D. Martinez has been good from beginning to end.
All season, yeah.
Yeah, J.D. Martinez has been your best hitter all season. But, I mean, you really have to search to find good things. The starting pitching has been awful.
Yeah.
From the beginning, I mean, this month, I can't remember a month where the starting pitching has been this bad. And I've seen a lot of bad teams. I mean, I have to look. I wonder if the starting pitching was this bad during any of the Farrell years when they were finishing last over the course of a month. I mean, it's just atrocious. Nobody can get out of the fifth inning. I mean, and if they do get out of the fifth inning, it's like Sale, who was awful in the first two innings and then picked it up. But in the end, it's 4 runs over 7 innings and a loss. And four just, runs over seven innings for Sale, by the way, is considered good at this moment.
Dan just told me in my headphones that Jackie Bradley Jr. is batting 149.
Yeah, remember when he retooled that swing in spring training and everything was going to be fine?
Yeah.
So, Rich, real quick, I happen to have it on, and Dave O'Brien is just desperate for anything. He's like, Jackie's looking to turn it around here. He's batting 149. He goes, no home runs and four RBIs, and echoes, he has two extra base hits.
Yeah.
It just hung there for
his
us.
His slugging percentage is 190.
Yeah, he drove in a run. He drove in a run, and not sarcastically, Jared Carrabas in all caps, I don't think he was being sarcastic, said, don't let Jackie get hot. I'm like, okay. You know, this is where we are.
Well, he is streaky. You admit that. Well,
yes, no, he is.
He's slugging 190.
No, no.
Which is almost impossible.
I do admit, and this has been his MO his entire career, once he gets hot, he stays hot for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But then he's right back in the toilet then for three more.
Then he can raise the slugging percentage to 250.
Yeah.
And really tell everyone what... can you imagine slugging 190?
If he could not field the way he does...
Oh, no.
He wouldn't have been... Obvious. He would... No, I'm just talking about whether or not he could be a Major League Baseball
player.
No,
he couldn't be a Major League Baseball player. No. It's like when Ozzie Smith first came up, and before he taught himself to hit... If he wasn't, you know, the greatest defensive shortstop of all time, there's no way he would have played.
His fielding allows you to wait, like for what you saw in the playoffs last year in the ALCS. His fielding allows you to wait. And so the Red Sox waited and got those big hits in the American League Championship
in
Series.
May, it's going to be May, and this is how he's hitting. It's statistically very difficult to have anything as like an average number right now. I mean, he's far enough in a hole where there's no digging out in terms of just your raw numbers.
And he's not the only one. I mean, he's really slumping bad, but we just brought up Steve Pierce. He's been slumping bad. I mean, Mookie Betts has been more bad than good here so far. And the Red Sox are 12-17. Statistically speaking, teams that start like this, 95% of them don't make the playoffs.
And there's a team that's playing very well. Tampa swept them, right?
Yeah, well, two-game series, but yes, they did sweep
them. Whatever. Two games, and there's a team that's in first place that, you know, was a good team last year and seems to be a juggernaut. And the Yankees, despite their injuries, are playing well. And then once they get healthy,
yeah,
gradually, I mean, the Yankees in Tampa Bay are starting to lap them a little bit, and that doesn't go away. I mean, you got to get really hot.
That's the thing. What this has done is forced you to play 650 or 700 baseball over a long period of time.
Which is
They did it last year, but to ask them to duplicate that pace in back-to-back seasons, I think is asking too much.
They did it last year, but to my recollection, they were never cold.
That's the point. They were able to play 650, 700 baseball for a long period of time. That doesn't happen.
Right.
You don't see that in back-to-back seasons.
Right.
I mean, no one expected 108 wins this season, but people expected 95 or 90, and I don't know if they get there this year the way they've started.
And then the Eovaldi thing is frightening if you're a Red Sox fan. Sale, the extension, which the Eovaldi thing I thought was a fine move. But even though you and I both talked about him being hurt, the Sale move was a big head scratcher. I have no idea why they did that. So if you're a Red Sox fan, the future, and then Betts, who knows what he wants to do? He's not committing to anything. So if you look into the future, they'll just dump money on someone else.
It's interesting, though, in a weird way, maybe Betts slumping might be the best thing for the Red Sox if they want to keep him. I mean, honestly, if Mookie hits 280 with 15 homers and 80 RBIs this year, I mean, can he?
Harper did not have a very good season last year, and he broke the bank.
I know, but Harper, even though he didn't, for average, his power numbers are still there. So, I mean, I'm reaching for things to keep Mookie here. Obviously, he's going to play it out. He's going to go to free agency and make $40 million a season. But, I mean, maybe if Betts has a down year, maybe he considers taking the massive extension?
I would say no.
Well, the best thing going for the Red Sox right now are that the Bruins and the Celtics are playing and nobody's watching. So the embarrassment is kind of, there's a blind eye to it. No one's going to be watching the game tonight at 7:10.
Well, no. And you're out of your mind.
The Red Sox?
Yeah.
The Red Sox are playing tonight?
Unless your name's Dan Roach. Then,
You're out of your mind if you go to one of those games right now with this stupid weather.
Would you say, Dan, it was 21 days of the month of April?
Yeah, we broke a record, not including today, which it's going to rain all day. But
so 22 days out of 30.
Out of 30.
That we had rain.
For the whole month of April,
yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's not suicidal weather at all. All right, what else is coming up, Rich?
All right, some interesting news coming out of the Bruins practice yesterday. Also, a couple of the Celtics speak on how they are going to contain Mr. Giannis Antetokounmpo for one more game here in Milwaukee.
All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Your smart speaker knows a lot about Boston sports.
Stupid me.
Just saying. Play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. It's a real nightmare. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Well, even after their overtime loss in Game 2, Las Vegas seems to think that the Bruins are still the team to beat in the quest for the Stanley Cup. Before last night's games, the odds were as follows. In first, you got the Bruins with 4-1 odds, and then it goes Carolina 9-2, San Jose 5-1 odds, with the Avalanche, Stars, and St. Louis all at 6-1, and then it drops all the way down to the Blue Jackets at 13-2 odds, and the Islanders in dead last with 11-1.
That's now, all got to be money. That's all got to be money going to the Bruins' way because they're the North American most popular team left.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, that's what...
But they're also the best team. They have the best regular season record.
Well, which is part of it, but obviously them being the favorite...
Wouldn't they be the favorite anyway?
Yeah, but the way that... I don't know. But
I think they would be.
Fine.
I think they'd be the favorite anyway.
But I would guess that the odds being what they are has at least a percentage... 25% reason of that is because of money going into Boston's way.
Telling me that Dallas, there are no big Dallas fans betting big money on Dallas?
What about the Islanders?
Yeah. I'm telling you, if you're going to Vegas, I would guess that the Bruins fans are the majority of the people that are gambling on this.
Islanders fans don't know whether they're coming or going. Do they play on Long Island? Do they play in Brooklyn? Where do they play?
Yeah, exactly. Does this include all the jersey betting going on?
Unbelievable.
Not quite sure. Well, according to Kevin Paul DuPont, the team had extra shooting practice yesterday to help deal with their woes in front of the net. And Bruce Cassidy obviously realizes that the top six needs a little bit of a wake up. And he seems to be continuing with the trend that he started in Game 2 by shuffling the lines and dropping David Pastrnak down to the third line. So on the first line, you got Marchand, Bergeron, Heinen, DeBrusk, Krejci, and Coleman on the second. Johansson, Coyle, and Pastrnak on the third.
All right. So what this is supposed to do is that they felt that DeBrusk was yielding to Pastrnak, that DeBrusk, if you saw, has been kind of hesitant to shoot. They believe that he was, you know, trying to get Pastrnak more involved, so that takes care of that. And also, they believe that Pastrnak, they can limit his defensive responsibilities by moving him to the third line. So those are the main two reasons, apparently, why they're making this move.
In other words, stop everyone from thinking.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's what this comes down to. Yep. Everyone stop thinking.
Yeah, DeBrusk, shoot, and then...
Pastrnak, concentrate on offense.
Yeah, Pastrnak, concentrate on offense.
Don't worry about the other end of the ice.
Exactly. So, yeah, don't worry about the other end of the ice.
However, David Pastrnak thinks that maybe the media is making a bigger deal out of a slump than is actually true.
I think it's making a little bigger picture out of it. You know, I'm just trying my best, you know, and I said it, it's not a, you know, at the end of the day, we are still winning and series 1-1. So, you know, my focus is just to help the team every single game and shift, I step on the air.
Hey, ref, check your voicemail. We missed some calls.
Yes, thank you. The Dunkin' Donuts commercial that I had to rewind three times to figure out what David Pastrnak was actually saying.
It's shocking that it is national for several reasons. One being, I didn't realize the Q rating of Pastrnak was so off the charts.
Yes, it is.
Neither do any of his teammates, apparently.
No. They don't.
All his teammates are kind of stunned also.
Yeah.
DeBrusk is just sitting there, really?
Yeah.
A national spot?
Yeah, that doesn't seem... If you thought who would be the most well-known guy on the Bruins for a national spot,
Marchand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you would think
far
Marchand.
And away Marchand. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be Marchand. So, and then you could have done something with Marchand on the penalty.
Oh, match. That would have been a much better commercial.
Well, maybe I bet you they paid Pastrnak like $20 and said, here's your like entree.
I'm just chirping from a penalty box? That'd be better.
Hey, ref, check your voicemail. We missed some calls.
Yeah.
How many takes did it take to get that one?
A dozen.
They were probably in the editing room going,
a dozen.
In the editing room, they're going, this will be my finest achievement.
That's right. Yeah, maybe it was a dare. But the thing is that obviously the language barrier is a lot of it, but also the fact that who the hell is David Pastrnak? Like who knows who David Pastrnak is outside of this town?
I don't know. I mean, it is.
Not exactly a household name.
That is strange that it is national. But one thing that the team is preparing themselves for is that dumbass cannon that they launch off after every goal. And Bruce Cassidy had this to say about it.
I hope I don't hear it, obviously. After that, I never, to be honest with you, I never really noticed it much. You know, team scores, it's loud, I'm pissed off. So that's it. That's the routine. Every time, no matter where I am.
You know, if that's an issue, in all seriousness, and I don't allow him to have it.
You mean a hearing issue?
No, if it's an issue to like teams and it's something, the fact that that cannon's being talked about.
It's not during play, though.
It doesn't matter. If that is an issue with teams, then you should get rid of it.
As you just heard Cassidy say, it wasn't an issue. Whether he's lying or not is something else.
The fact that people are bringing it up, and they're bringing it up seriously. I mean, it's not like oh, how about that cannon? Yuck, yuck, yuck. Like, I don't, if they are, then they're. Have no idea about what humor is.
Well, how long has the cannon been there?
For, you know, 80 years.
Well, it wasn't just that. My point, it wasn't just this year that they put the cannon in there.
I think Columbus can do without tradition.
It has nothing to do with, tradition or not tradition. Nobody has complained about this thing.
I don't know.
Ever. I don't know that.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know that either.
This is kind of new to me just because it's the Bruins complaining about it. I don't know if other teams have had an issue.
Yeah, and it's not like Columbus has had, you know, huge playoff success.
Even Pastrnak had something to say.
You know, I had no idea what's going on. I remember this is Claude back in the day. He said, watch out for the cannon, but I didn't know what that means. So, and then I heard it. So, yeah, I remember about how he said it's their tradition. Every team has one. So.
Hey, ref, check your voicemail. You missed some calls.
Okay. Well,
like, people forget the players. Like, people don't like the cannon.
I don't even like it at Patriots games when they shoot the guns because me out a little bit.
The guns are so stupid. What's the worst is those guys think they're cool. Like, hey, look at me. I got to stand on the field in the worst possible place to stand. But they did it at the Boston Cannons games at Harvard. And, you know, there'd be like, you know, 2,000 people there, and then you would hear this gigantic blast. Who enjoys that?
There's only one event that it's appropriate at, and that is during Hell's Bells by AC/DC.
For those about to rock,
yeah. Where at the end, they just use it as an instrument.
Yeah, and plus, if you've been watching AC/DC, by the time they play that song,
you've already seen the inflatable fat woman.
Which
whole lot of Rosie that just floats around the thing.
Yeah, which they've...
Get it? She's big. Yeah. Whole lot of Rosie. She's as big as half the stadium.
Yeah, whole lot of Rosie is about banging a fat chick. And then to illustrate the point...
Look, she's behind us. She's enormous.
A huge inflatable fat woman with a bikini on.
As if you couldn't figure it out. The lyrics are so tough. It's like a puzzle. Whole lot of Rosie. We mean she's fat.
Can you imagine them going like... hey, balloon store, could you please, I got some sketches of a big fat lady, and can you make this 50 feet by 30 feet?
Just Google whole lot of Rosie to see what it looks like. Like, even when your imagination, it's not nearly as just unbelievable as the picture itself.
Look.
She's big.
Look.
Can you believe it? I mean, we said she was fat, but she's this fat.
This is an illustration of actual Rosie. I had sex with this.
Get lonely sometimes. And then there's the bad boy of Columbus, Mr. Brandon Dubisky, who took a shot at Bruins fans after game two saying, hey, you know what? Columbus is going to be a whole heck of a lot louder than this joint.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then yesterday... He stuck it to him once again. Ah, you got us. By doing an interview in a Milwaukee Bucks hat. Oh, no.
You know what? I went to a Milwaukee. I got family from Milwaukee, so I went to a Milwaukee game not too long ago and picked up the hat. So I just like the hat. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't think that's why you wore it.
I don't know about you, but when he comes back to Boston, he's getting the what for?
I don't know. I don't buy that story. I ain't buying what he saw. I think he bought it as to troll fans.
This guy's a real button pusher, you know.
Wow, you got that? Well, you like Milwaukee there? That's quite a statement there. Your life and limb is on the line now, sir.
You win this round, Dubinsky. Yeah. It's egg on my face.
You know, you should have. Pasternak where University of Michigan had and get everyone very excited.
Somebody tweeted yesterday, because I retweeted that thing, and said, this guy's something else. Can't wait till he's back in the garden. He's in for a treat.
All right, what's coming up?
Oh, let's talk about the Celtics and Robert Kraft. The weirdness continues.
Yeah, that video is coming out some way or another. And it just is delaying the inevitable. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, Sunday's Celtics-Bucks shellacking was an eye-opener for a lot of people, including Paul Pierce, who declared the series as over.
I thought the same before I even heard Paul Pierce, so take that.
Mm-hmm.
I should be on that show.
You probably should. And now we're starting to see stories like this pop up, like from this one back in November, when a league scout told CBS about one of the problems that he believed Milwaukee was going to face in the postseason. He said, quote, I feel like Milwaukee is going to win a ton of regular season games, but be a disappointment in the playoffs. Nobody can guard Giannis, but in the playoffs, they're going to have five guys basically defending him. Everyone shading, walling him off. He's going to be so frustrated. You just can't barrel through everybody every time in the playoffs. So now you're relying on Chris Middleton's and Eric Bledsoe's to make a lot of shots. I mean, if that doesn't describe game one, then I don't know what does. But then again, I do disagree with you somewhat, Fred. It is just game one, and I believe that tonight should be a decent response game. By the way, if for some reason the Celtics do something similar than what they did in game one, I mean, like, how can you doubt him then? But I just have a feeling, because Budenholzer is a pretty good coach, and also because these guys have a little, you know, they got a decent amount of pride, that they're not going to, at least Chris Middleton, someone like him. I could see Giannis, you know, maybe coming out and scoring like 30, but Middleton going off, or Giannis having a monster game. Either way, someone is going to go off this evening, because they're going to plan a way around just the absolute stranglehold that the Celtics had on.
Well, two things. First of all, it's on Mike Budenholzer to free up Giannis Antetokounmpo to score. And if he dribbles into traffic, impress upon him to kick it out to one of his many three-point shooters. I mean, you brought up Middleton, who's an all-star and had a great year and is a very good three-point shooter. Mirotić, who knocked down a few threes, is another guy they got specifically to make threes because he doesn't play any defense at the other end. And I keep bringing up Brogdon. Brogdon was top 10 in the league in three-point shooting this year, among the other things that he does. So they missed him a little bit. But for the Milwaukee offense to work, it's predicated upon Giannis getting a lane to the basket, and if he's double-teamed, finding one of the many guys they acquired who spots up and shoots threes. If any one of those three-point shooters gets hot, that loosens things up and the game changes.
However, one guy that might be the most underrated story of the playoffs is the rise of Jaylen Brown. As a matter of fact, Jaylen Brown ranks number one in the NBA playoffs in two-point field goal percentage. So like in just like jumpers, he's 74%. He's also shooting 43% from three-point range. And Brad Stevens even knows that he has heated up as of late.
We've been together now. This is our third season, ending our third season, and he's gotten better towards the end of every season, and he has been his best at this time every year. So, you know, I always think that everybody's going to react to things as they happen throughout an 82-game season. That's part of just our news cycle. You know, it's just not the way I look at it. You know, I think that, you know, we're trying to get better as the season goes on and play our best at the end, and he's done that three straight years.
So,
he's a gamer.
He is. I mean, he's right. And, you know, people will remember, unfortunately, Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals with Jaylen Brown. That'll leave a bad taste in your mouth. It was a stinker of a game.
Well, that was everybody. That wasn't just Jaylen.
Yeah, but, I mean, but Jaylen had some of the big shots that he missed. I mean, I think that when you think back, see, when I think back, I think Jaylen.
No, when I think back, I think Marcus Morris, to be honest with you. I think everyone had trouble shooting that night. Everyone had chances to win that game, and no one was able to throw the ball in the ocean.
But he had a good postseason. Up to that point, he had a very good postseason, and he's right. I mean, in the past 3 years, that's when he's gotten the hottest. Well, Brown was asked about his dunk on Antetokounmpo and the epic picture that followed afterwards, and Jaylen said, don't read too much into it.
Have you watched the video of your dunk on Giannis from the other day?
Yeah, I see.
What did you think watching it back?
It really wasn't that spectacular, to be honest. I think it was okay. I think the picture was a lot cooler than what it really was.
I mean, it was pretty cool to watch. Were friends texting you or anyone reaching out?
Yeah, a few people. But, I haven't been on my phone, to be honest.
I can't hear him over at Horford. Like, it's just two, like, really deep voices next to each other. It's like, remember when Gerald Wallace would speak and it would sound like a human vuvuzela? That dude had one of the lowest voices I've ever heard in the NBA.
The thing about the NBA is you can't talk about your jams.
You can't brag about the jams?
You can't talk about your dunks.
Oh, but you know what you can talk about? Did you see Joel Embiid yesterday after their win? The 76ers ended up having a pretty convincing win over the Raptors last night.
No, they didn't.
At the beginning of the game, they looked great. Now,
they won by three, and Danny Green, who is one of the best three-point shooters on the planet, had a wide-open shot to tie it, and he missed it.
Are you talking after the ass-kicking that the Raptors end up giving?
Oh, I thought you were talking about last night's game. I'm sorry.
I'm saying, are you telling me that after the ass-kicking they had in game one, that you don't feel pretty good that the 76ers can come back and even just beat them by a few? I thought that was a good game.
They blew a big lead. It wasn't convincing. They lucked out. All right. That was my point.
Either way, Joel Embiid was asked about how he felt, and he said,
"Man, if you've had whatever the name is, if you had the shits before, Joe, if you've had it before, you would know how it feels. But these are my guys, and." You know, want to show up every night, play hard.
Okay, so he had
the he couldn't think of diarrhea.
He couldn't think of rhea if he had the blanks.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I know this isn't your native language, but at least learn the important words.
What's the English word for the blanks? Because I had them last night.
Diarrhea.
The naughty word for the squirts.
No, man. If you've had whatever the name is, if you had the shits before.
Well, thank you. By the way,
if you're going to get out of the country if you don't know the word diarrhea.
That's the reason?
America, love it or leave it. Okay. Hey, Jack, if you don't know the word diarrhea, that's a one-way ticket out of town.
Proving my point that nobody cares if athletes swear anymore, and it's great. That 10 years ago, it would have been pitchforks and, ban this guy from the league. And now it's like everyone's just saying it.
You picture him on a date and he goes, darling, mi amor, to sit here with you, it's like, a diarrhea. All right. We will have no commercials, just the headlines. And then this Cedric Maxwell audio that we played yesterday reminds me of a story. That's, I can't remember who, but someone has here at the radio station, and we'll play that for you in just a second.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.